So what do we see on Tuesday night? What do we end off with? What's the last thing we discussed?
It was a very expansive month. Like it.
Yeah. How so?
I just remember that.
The keyword. Q. What do we end off with?
I had to leave early, so I know that's the gist of what I heard. But that you could expand Machloket Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to Hashem Machloket about what Kavana entails in terms of mitzvah in general.
Right. I mean, it was surprising that a lot of the machlokesim about specific halachos seemed to depend on the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Right. So, for example, kilayim, whether or not das plays a role in the isra of kilayim, the way it emerges according to some of these rishonim is that it's contingent on a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Whether or not kavana letahara is a precondition for violating the isra of ktsitzas baheres also seemed to be unexpectedly dependent on a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So what we were developing was the idea that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is not just a machlokes about the isra of meleches machsheves when it comes to hilchos Shabbos, or even let's say the role of kavana as a p'tur in violating averos, but it's a general machlokes about the role of kavana in mitzvos. That has, let's say, three consequences. One consequence is about hilchos Shabbos. One is about the role of kavana in general, and the third consequence is the role of kavana in defining the very nature of specific isurim. Okay, so that might be the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So what I didn't get in on Tuesday night is this broader question about the relationship between, and here's the four comments, the relationship between Melachas Machsheves on Shabbos and Melachas Machsheves in Kol HaTorah Kula. Meaning, the role that Kavana plays specifically when it comes to the Melachos of Shabbos, in contrast to the role that same Kavana seems to play in regular Yisurim. So we already saw echoes, or we saw hints to this distinction. We saw two of them. They're very similar. One was Tosos on Mem Aleph Mabez in Shabbos, and one was Tosos, I think, on Kuf Yud Aleph or Kuf Yud Mabez, B'Shem HaShil Tos. So what was in Tosos Mem Aleph Mabez? Jennifer, what do we see in Tosos Mem Aleph Mabez? It has that long Tosos about Mitzarif, the Psik Resha Tosos. You could pass also. Pass, okay. Rachel, what do we see in Tosfos Mem Aleph Mabez?
I think that when it was explaining Rabbi Yehuda, so you said on Shabbos, you're only having Derabbanan because Melacha Achshav requires you to have a higher.
Right, the way Tosfos had it is that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Zavar Shein Miskavin, is Aser. So when it comes, or in Kol HaTorah Kula, even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Zavar Shein Miskavin, is Chayav Achatas. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda would admit that it's only Aser Midrabbanan. Why? Melachas Machsheves Aser Torah. When it comes to Shabbos, we have a higher standard for what constitutes kavana for violating the melachos. Tosos on Kuf Yud Beis. What did he say? It's Kuf Yud Aleph. It's Kuf Yud Aleph. What did Tosos say there? Similar point. Kuf Yud Beis. Yeah. Jeremy, what did Tosos say?
He said that the issue of pasturing your dog is only a problem for Rabbi Yehuda, not for Rabbi Shimon.
Is only a problem for Rabbi Yehuda, not for Rabbi Shimon? What do you mean?
No, he says that we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, B'chol HaTorah Kula, but we pass him like Rabbi Shimon.
Excellent. Excellent. Tosfos Kuf Yud Beis says that we're going to paskin Likula like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos. We're going to paskin Lechumra like Rabbi Yehuda and Kol HaTorah Kula. For the same rationale, Melachas Machsheves Aser Torah. So, whereas Tosfos on Amal from Beis wanted to say that Rabbi Yehuda himself would acknowledge a higher standard of kavana for Hilchos Shabbos, Tosan Kuf Yudim Beis will acknowledge Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue, Bein B'Kol HaTorah Kula, Bein B'Hilchos Shabbos, just that we're going to split the psak and adopt a more lenient stance with respect to Hilchos Shabbos, because kavana plays a greater role, even though Rabbi Yehuda himself wouldn't necessarily, or Rabbi Shimon himself wouldn't necessarily buy that distinction. Okay, so it's interesting, it's like a tarta desastri psak that we're going to adopt. So those are two hints to this distinction between Kol HaTorah Kula and Shabbos. The Rush has a very interesting position. Does anybody know what simon that Rush was? I thought it was Perek Yudalet.
Yudalet Teth.
Yudalet Teth? Yeah. Okay, so what does the Rush say? Oh, excellent. All right. The Rush and Yudalet Teth.
Rabbi Shimon, that when he one able to see third shabbat only to like five.
Right. So what's
Shabbos,
his?
Shabbos, he says that that's where you can apply the. By Shabbos, you can apply the aruch that you're chayav. But that's the aruch hula. He like holds like as we saw in Tosfot that secret shabbat will apply your pater.
Say it one more time.
That within Rabbi Shimon.
Right.
He makes distinction about when we hold secret shabbat will apply your chayav. He says by Shabbos.
Secret shabbat will only apply chayav.
I think so. I looked that up. I'm pretty sure. I thought he was saying that like we hold by basically we hold by the Aruch on Shabbos, by Shabbos we hold by like Tosfot that your potter and everything else, right? Never not saying that
that could be, I just don't understand.
Okay. I thought he was saying that like for within Rabbi Shimon, there's a distinction about where we hold the secret Shabbos and Nechalei Yerchayim, about how we hold the secret Shabbos and Nechalei Yerchayim. By Shabbos we hold the secret Shabbos and Nechalei Yerchayim, like the Aruch.
On Shabbos we say Pesik Reshit Dolan Nechalei is Mutter, like.
Sorry, I got it.
Right.
I have to
okay.
It. Yeah.
So on Shabbos,
I just checked an excess in my notes, so I thought check was whatever. Yeah. Shabbos, right. That makes sense also, because Malachal Shabbat would create a higher picture. So Shabbos is a secret Shabbat, it's only apply your mother. And Kol Torah Pilu would say, you're Chayav. You're Chayav. Right? Right? It means Usher, right?
Right, and Kol Torah Kula. I mean, the whole heter of the Aruch that Psik Reishit Delo Nichalei is Mutter against Tosfos. Tosfos holds Psik Reishit Delo Nichalei is Aser. So the whole heter of the Aruch that Psik Reishit Delo Nichalei is Mutter is only it's unique to Hilchos Shabbos. Outside of Hilchos Shabbos, the Psik Reishit Delo Nichalei, the Aruch will admit is Aser.
But okay. I was just saying because the Tosfos is Tosfos unique to Shabbos when he says that Rabbi Shimon was that Psik Reishit Delo Nichalei is Aser.
No, the Chora, it's
right,
true so in general.
It's fine, so then he splits up. You mean he
Well, see, Reb Chaim seems to disagree with that.
We'll
see Reb Chaim in a second.
But he, so I'm saying, so then he doesn't, he holds a Tosfot on Kol Torah Kula, like the Aruch
right.
And Shabbos.
Well, he thinks that the Rosh thinks that the Aruch himself only said his Chiddush with respect to Hilchos Shabbos.
Right.
Now, the Karmen Estanah is very unhappy with this quotation from the Aruch. He thinks it's impossible. But just the way the Rosh seems to quote it here, definitely you have this kula with respect to Psik Reisha Delo Nichalei at Dafk and Hilchos Shabbos. Even in sight, Kazem Lachs Machshavas, you're going to say Mutter and Kol Torah Kula. It's going to be Aser. Okay, so that's a second. That's another distinction between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. So Tosfos was within Davar Shein Miskavein. The Rosh is within Psik Reisha Delo Nichalei Bidas Ar. So those are two distinctions. What's Reb Chaim's distinction between Kol Torah Kula and Shabbos? Reb Chaim also had a fundamental distinction. Das and Ratzon. Correct. So why was Reb Chaim motivated to distinguish between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula? What was bothering him? What's the problem he was grappling with?
What is the problem with the Rambam?
Yeah, why?
We pass in the Machal Achshav and Dasher, but then by Shmuel's cases, we pass in the Zemacher. But then, I don't remember.
Okay, so we already saw that. We said Davar Shein Miskavein, yeah. Rambam's working within Davar Shein Miskavein. Davar Shein Miskavein, Psik Reish Lo Nichalei, he'll pass in like the Aruch. That's Mutter. So Mapis Mursa is Davar Shein Miskavein, Psik Reish Lo Nichalei, Mutter. So why did Reb Chaim come on to this? At the end, Reb Chaim has this long analysis of Kol Torah Kula and Shabbos, and he does distinguish between Das and Ratzon. But why is he doing that?
Isn't the case in being forced to eat chametz?
Not the case of being forced to eat chametz, but Gemara in Krisos. What's in Krisos? He attached from a base. But what's the case there? That's the case with the gacheles. You're stoking the coals. Right, and by stoking the coals, you're gonna inadvertently get to put out some of them. So the Gemara said, "You're chayav shtayim," according to Rabbi Yehuda. "You're chayav achas," according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that was the Gemara. Now Tosfos already raised the question of that Gemara. Tosfos on Memal from the Beis, which we saw. What was Tosfos' objection to that Gemara? So the Gemara said, "It depends whether you hold Davar Shein Miskavein's chayav or pater." So why is that a problem that the Gemara calls Davar Shein Miskavein?
Because it should
No, not that it should be. Tosfos argues it has to be, but why does Tosfos think it has to be? All right, you see the Reb Chaim? So it's hard Reb Chaim to work through, but it's worth looking over. It's a classic. It's not as big of a classic as the Riki Vager we're going to discuss in a minute. But this is also a classic Reb Chaim. This is also the basis for a heter. Some people paskin say Gracious Lo Nichle is mutter because they think the Rambam adopts that position. So it's all based on this Reb Chaim. So Cooper, what's Reb Chaim troubled by? What was Tosfos troubled by in that Gemara in his Testament Vez?
The fact that seems to be Daraisa.
Well, the Gemara says it depends on Davar Shein Miskavein, on Rebbe Yom Shimon and Davar Shein Miskavein.
And he had previously said, in a different test, then he said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's really only Darabana.
Yeah. The Gemara said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're Chayev Tu Chatos. Right, because you're both you're lighting more coals and you're extinguishing other coals. B'davar sheinu miskaven. So Tosfos said, wait a second, this is a Shabbos case, right? Yechai mishum mavir and machalav b'Shabbos. But didn't I just tell you a minute ago that because of malachas machsheves, even Rabbi Yehuda admits that the isra of b'davar sheinu miskaven is only drabanan on Shabbos? So how then could the Gemara posit that aliba Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayiv tu chatos? It's only an Isra Midrabanan. It's Tuchel Shabbos. Melechus Machshavas Asur Torah. And this isn't Melechus Machshavas. So that's why Tosfos came along. And Tosfos said that really it's a Psik Reisha. The Gemara said Davar Shein Miskave. And really it's a Psik Reisha Delo Nichel. And that's a Melechus Shein Tzrichel Gufa, which is really Chayiv Alibu Rabbi Yehuda. That's how Tosfos answered the question. So Reb Chaim is bothered. And Reb Chaim says that works out nicely for Tosfos, who paskins Melechus Shein Tzrichel Gufa. Sorry, that works out nicely for Tosfos. Sorry. But if you read the Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, when the Rambam paskins that Gemara, as a Davar Shein Miskavein, not as a Melacha Shein Tzrichel Gufa. So Tosfos was able to say the Gemara said Davar Shein Miskavein, but meant Melacha Shein Tzrichel Gufa. Reb Chaim argues that the Rambam can't hold that, because the Rambam himself, when he quotes that Gemara, the Rambam quotes it as a Davar Shein Miskavein in Ptur. So according to the Rambam, why does Abihuda say Rechayiv? Now, there's a peculiar assumption here. What's the peculiar assumption in Reb Chaim? I mean, that's Reb Chaim's question.
The Rambam can't agree that Lo Nichol is Daraisa.
What?
That the Rambam can't just agree with Tosfos that Lo Nichol is Daraisa.
No, he might, but the Rambam quotes that case as Davar Shein Miskavein.
Okay.
Right? So it doesn't seem. Tosfos' point is that the mechanism is Melacha Shein Tzrichel Gufa. So there's a peculiar assumption that Reb Chaim assumes that the Rambam would buy into Tosfos' assumption that Rabbi Yehuda holds Davar Shein Miskavein is only Midrabanan on Shabbos. And if the Rambam denied that Chiddush of Tosfos, then it's fine. If they're arguing about Davar Shein Miskavein, and the Rambam would just hold it, Rabbi Yehuda holds Davar Shein Miskavein is an Isra Midaraisa, even on Shabbos. He'll just deny Tosfos' understanding of Machas Machshavas in this instance. But Reb Chaim assumes that the Rambam, like Tosfos, holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Shein Miskavein is only Nisr Midrabanan on Shabbos. So if you make that assumption, then you could ask that question on the Gemara in Krisos. And since the Rambam understood it as Davar Shein Miskavein, so you can't argue Melech Tensi Yechol Gufa. So what's Reb Chaim's solution to this problem of reading the Gemara in Krisos?
Wasn't that Rabbi Yehuda, wasn't that based on the Gemara's? I don't. What was Tosfos' proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds?
I don't think he had did he have a strong proof? I mean, just to point out, Tosfos on Kufi Dalef disagrees, right? Tosfos on Kufi Dalef thinks that Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, we saw it. Yeah, sure. It's clear.
Right. So what's Reb Chaim's suggestion? So how does Rambam read the Gemara and Krisos your testament base? You see the Reb Chaim?
Yeah.
It's very, very hard Reb Chaim. So every time I see this Reb Chaim, I keep having to it's never one of those ones that it just clicks back in your head. It's you always have to reread through it and try to figure out what's happening.
Right. No, I have remember his distinction between Machlokes Tarkei and Machlokes Machshava.
Okay, so what is Reb Chaim's distinction? And then we'll see. Reb Chaim is motivated to that distinction because of this problem.
Right.
So what is his distinction?
I forget which one is that. Machlokes Tarkei, it's a matter of not wanting it to happen, and by Shabbat, it's a matter of knowledge of Halacha being done.
Excellent.
So that, I guess, Ratzon by Kol Tarkei and Dad by Shabbat.
Yeah. And Kol Tarkei Kula, we care about Ratzon. Do you want this to happen or do you not want this to happen? That's how Kavanah is going to be defined. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's not about wanting it or not wanting it. It's about your knowledge of it happening. So therefore, Reb Chaim goes on to say, so Davar She'eino Miskaven B'Psik Reisha. We have a question of Nichale or Lo Nichale. So is that distinction of Nichale or Lo Nichale, is that a Shabbos question or a Kol Tarkei Kula question? The distinction between Nichale and Lo Nichale. Kol Tarkei Kula. Shabbos is indifferent to your Ratzon. Shabbos only cares about your Das. So the whole distinction between Nichale and Lo Nichale is a question of Kol Tarkei Kula. The case in Krisus, argues Reb Chaim, is a case of Psik Reisha. Stavar Shina Meskaven, but by definition, when you stoke some of the coals, the other ones will go out. Like Tosa said, it's a Psik Reisha. So now, it's a Psik Reisha. Psik Reisha is a Kol Tarkei Kula question, not a Shabbos question, because with respect to Hilchos Shabbos, you know it's going to happen. It's a Psik Reisha. So now the Petur of Lo Nichalei will be a Kol Tarkei Kula question. So what does Rabbi Yehuda hold for Davar She'eino Miskaven and Kol Tarkei Kula? What?
That it's usher.
That it's not just that it's usher, but that it's chayiv. It's chayiv midaraisa. So Reb Chaim's clever answer is that it's true that that's a case that's happening on Shabbos. You're stoking the coals on Shabbos. But what's significant for the p'tur of Melachas Machsheves is the question of whether the intention in this case is the intention of Kol Tarkei Kula, or it's an intention that's germane to Hilchos Shabbos. So since with respect to Psik Reisha, so the only question is the question of the Das of Kol Tarkei Kula. With respect to Hilchos Shabbos, already there's no p'tur, because you have knowledge of what's going to happen. So now we're going to invoke the categories of Kol Tarkei Kula, where Rabbi Yehuda holds, not just that it's also where Rabbi Yehuda holds its chayiv. Okay, so even on Shabbos, when you do something, b'davar she'eino miskaven, b'psik reisha, so according to the Manda Amar, the davar she'eino miskaven is chayiv, you're going to be totally chayiv. According to Abhuda, it's going to be totally chayiv. According to Abshimin, that it's pater, that's mutter, so psik reisha lo nichle, will be mutter like the Aruch. Okay, so again, so Tosus read the Gemara in Krisus and said, how could you hold davar she'eino miskaven is chayiv? It's a Shabbos case. Tosus said, no, really, it's a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. Reb Chaim read the Gemara saying that when it comes to a psik reisha, so then the categories of Shabbos are no longer relevant. It is a melachas machsheves because you know it's going to happen. So the only p'tur that you could invoke is the p'tur of davar she'eino miskaven of Kol Tarkei Kula. And that's lo nichale, because Kol Tarkei Kula cares about nichale lo nichale. Once you're invoking Kol Tarkei Kula, so then you have to say that Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold its chayiv. Okay, you can't invoke the special heter of Machas Machshaves, because the category is a Kol Tarkei Kula category. Is that clear?
When do we ever care about the Shabbos category?
When it's Davar She'eino Miskaven without a Psik Reisha. So when it's just a Davar She'eino Miskaven on Shabbos, so then Rabbi Yehuda will be moda that it's only Asar Midrabanan. But why? Because in a regular Davar She'eino Miskaven, you have no knowledge of what's going to happen. Once it's a Psik Reisha, Reb Chaim's assuming that you have knowledge of what's going to happen. Memela, you can invoke the special Ptur of Shabbos. The only p'tur you could invoke is nichalo nichalei of Kol Tarkei Kula. But once you invoke the Kol Tarkei Kula p'tur, you can never rely on the special heter of Melachas Machshaves in Hilchos Shabbos. Very tricky, Reb Chaim. That's his contention.
Is this just according to Rabbi Yehuda? Is this distinction just according to Rabbi Yehuda?
It seems that this distinction is only according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Yeah. But for the simple reason that there's no nafkamina according to Reb Shimon.
Right.
Since Reb Shimon will hold that a psik reisha lo nichale is mutter even in Kol Tarkei Kula.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But that fundamental distinction that there's Kol Tarkei Kula cares about nichale, lo nichale, Shabbos doesn't, that's true, bein Reb Yehuda, bein Reb Shimon. Just happens to be there's no nafkamina, according to Reb Shimon. Because Reb Shimon will hold that it's mutter in Shabbos and it's mutter in Kol Tarkei Kula.
Right.
Okay? Now, What's the relationship between Abchaim's distinction and the Rosh's distinction in Perek Yedaleh? Q. They're inverted.
Yeah.
Because the Rosh in Perek Yedaleh here is actually arguing that Psik Reisha Delo Nichale is a special het there in Hilchos Shabbos. But in Kol Torah Kula, even the Aruch, even let's say Rav Shimon would agree that Psik Reisha Delo Nichale is Aser, which means that Lo Nichale only helps you in Shabbos, whereas according to Rav Chaim, Lo Nichale would only help you in Kol Torah Kula. Which means that whereas Rav Chaim thought that wanting something is a category of Kol Torah Kula, the Aruch thinks that wanting something is the staple of the unique heter of Melachos Ma'aseiv of Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, that's a very interesting contrast between Rav Chaim and the Rosh. But they're similar in that they both have this tendency to be mekel when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, because they disagree about which cases to be mekel in. Tosfos on Ayin Beis and Beis. This will be another distinction between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. The top Tosfos on Ayin Beis and Beis. You don't have to read through it, but I'll just tell you what he says very quickly. Tosfos argues that we have a different definition. We have a more makel definition of what Misasek is when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos over Kol Torah Kula. When it comes to Kol Torah Kula, the question is, did you have? Well, let me phrase this question this way: what's the difference between Misasek and, let's say, a case of Shogig?
Awareness of the fact that you did something.
Okay, what do you mean?
Metastic could be a case where you...
So what's a classic case of metastic?
Waking up and turning off your alarm clock.
Yeah, so you do something like instinctively. You don't even think about what you're doing, right? So shogeg would be you forgot it's Shabbos, or you didn't know this was Asar on Shabbos. Here you know this is Asar. You just didn't really think about what you were doing. That's misasik. So generally, the way we define misasik in Kol Torah Kula is that you thought you were doing something, you thought you were doing X, but you ended up doing Y. Okay, so a classic example is, you thought that you were picking up something which was already detached, and then like by accident you end up picking up a piece of grass that's attached to the ground. Okay, so like the wrong, you didn't have kavana for this action, you had kavana for a different action. Okay? So, Tosos basically explains that that's true in Kol Torah Kula. In Shabbos, we have a better head there. Let's say you had Kavana to uproot that piece of grass, to pick that flower, and you end up picking up this flower. So you had Kavana for an Isser, and you ended up doing an Isser, but you just ended up doing the different Isser.
That's still the same.
What?
Isn't that still like under the same category?
No. So generally the category would be, you had kavana to pick up something that's detached, you're in a skavin leheter, and ala biyado iser, and by accident you picked up a blade of grass which is attached to the ground. Here you had kavana leiser, and you ended up doing an iser.
It doesn't matter that it's the same iser that you end up doing. Like you're still doing the same action of detaching something. Like.
Right, so you would think that's not misasik. Yeah. Right? So that's true in Kol Torah Kula. In Kol Torah Kula, that would not be defined as misasik. But Tosanai and Bezan Bez, that with respect to Shabbos, because of Malachas Machshavas Asr Torah, so therefore even Niskavin Lachtoch Mechuber Zeh, and by accident Chatach Mechuber Acher, that's Lo Nasa Machshavto. Since for Shabbos you need Malachas Machshavas, you need to have accomplished that which you wanted to accomplish. And since over here you didn't, you're going to have a special Ptur. So Tosa is more of a more makel definition of Masasik when it comes to Shabbos over Kol Torah Kula. Top Tosanai and Bezan Bez. So our fifth distinction, we count it as six. You have Tosfos on Mem Aleph, Tosfos on Kuf Yud Aleph, the Rosh, his understanding of the Aruch, or Pchaim, Tosfos on Misasek, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. What's Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Siman Ches? Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a very fundamental distinction. Like Tosfos, he's dealing with Misasek, but Tosfos here is dealing with the definition of Misasek. What's considered Misasek? Rabbi Akiva Eiger wants to know, what's the level of the Ptur of Misasek and Shabbos in contrast to Kol Torah Kula. So what does, what's going on in Rabbi Akiva Eiger? You see it, Jeremy?
He calls it Shigigash Abbas Doliya Chataz.
What?
Without the Chataz.
So what does he mean?
It seems like it's fundamentally still problematic, but there's just the Torah of the fact that you don't have to bring the Korban.
When?
For Misasig on Atat Shabbos.
You thought on Shabbos, that's what he's saying? Chana, do you see Ricky Vager?
I do not.
That's okay. Q, you saw it?
Yeah. He distinguishes between...
Right, this Rabbi Kiva Eiger is a classic Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Anytime you walk around, like, you walk around, like, Masasik, somebody says, like, Masasik and Chav, it's like, oh, Rabbi Kiva Eiger. And, like, yeah, it's like this Rabbi Kiva Eiger. It's like one of the most famous Rabbi Kiva Eigers. When the Pamal Yoshal Mala asks you, Papalta B'chachma, they could ask you if you saw this Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Well?
I'm really tired about my answer now.
Well, you still have plenty of time. God willing.
I don't know, I guess I'm having some trouble with it, but I think what he says is that the difference between, I guess, Shogeg, Minasek is a case where you're, there's a difference between Minasek and Shogeg, where Minasek, it's not...
Well, let's before you get to Bukhah, what's Rabbi Kiva Eiger bothered by? It's the Gemara in Bava Kama, Chaf Vav Mem Beis. The Gemara says, if you have a stone in your lap, you stand up, right, and somehow that causes Chil Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what's the din?
Your patr because of machshavas.
Why did the Gemara say machshavas? Why didn't the Gemara just say misasik? Right, but problem misasik. Gemara in Krisa says that misasik is patr in general. So if you have a general patur, why is the Gemara invoking something unique to Shabbos? What does Rabbi Akiva Eiger suggest?
That there's a difference between misasik and shogeg.
Ah.
I think you haven't actually done the malacha at all because that malacha and machshavat, there's just no malacha.
Okay, Rabbi Akiva Eiger's distinction is not really between misasik and shogeg. It's between misasik on Shabbos and misasik and kol Torah Kula. But you're right, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that misasik and kol Torah Kula is a kind of shogeg. Misasik on Shabbos is stronger than that.
It's very possible I don't understand it completely.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He says on Shabbos, meaning the way like I think we were talking about is like on Shabbos and Rabbi Chai, V'chol Torah Kula and Rabbi Chai, you just need there to be a kavanah with Isser and then the Isser happens. On Shabbos, that has to, those two things have to be the same. Meaning you require that the Isser that happened was the thing that you had intention to happen.
Okay, so, but don't tell me what the definition of Misasik is. Tell me what the level of Ptur Misasik is.
Well, that creates a higher level.
So is Misasik a Maisa
Avera? Then it creates, is Misasik on Shabbos a Maisa Avera?
Yeah.
So then the difference would be, well, because of that distinction, so the difference would be that on Shabbos, there is a Maisa Avera. If at the point that we say, sorry, one second. Right, on Shabbos we say it's really Tchuya, right? There's still fundamentally is a malacha there, and we're just giving you a tour because you don't have that connection between the intention of the malacha. But in Kol Torah Kula, when you say that your mitzvah is pater, then really there's no malacha being done because why are you laughing?
Good try, but it's the exact opposite.
Right. On Kol Torah Kula, it's Tchuya.
Okay, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Simon Ches suggest the following. There's a fundamental difference between Misasik and Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. When it comes to Kol Torah Kula, Misasik is a Ptur. Torah tells you you're not liable for doing something without Kavana at all. It's a Ptur and Chiyuv Chatas. Shogig is Chayav Chatas, Misasik is not. But that's the Chiddush. The chiddush is that you're not chayav achatas, even though you violated a ma'isa avera. When it comes to Shabbos, if you do a malacha b'misasik, there's no shame malacha, there's no ma'isa avera whatsoever. It's not a patur karban, it's not a special gzeres hakasuv. There's no ma'aseh aveira. You haven't violated Shabbos in the least. Rav Eger has a very sharp nafkamina. What about kimle bidrab minei? Let's say you violate two things. Let's say you violate another aveira while you're violating an isser bimisasek. So let's say that and the aveira that you're doing bimisasek is a more chamor isser. Right, so you should say kim lebijamine. I'm violating the chamor iser, albeit bimisasek, so that should exempt me from the more kal iser. So Kivager says, here's the difference in Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. In Kol Torah Kula, where there is a ma'isa aveira, just there's a p'tur onesh, so then you'll say kim lebijamine and you're putter from that more kal iser, because the stronger ma'isa aveira wipes out the weaker one. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, where there's no ma'isa aveira whatsoever, in the case of misasek. So let's say you do an Isser while you're violating Shabbos and Misasik, then you can't invoke Kimle B'Jabmineh because there's no Chilo Shabbos to wipe it out. There's no stronger Isser B'chal. So Rav Kivager says that's why the Gemara in Bava Kama invokes a special P'tur of Melechus Machshavas Asur Torah to tell you that there's not even a Shem Avera whatsoever. Whereas in Kol Torah Kula, there is a Shem Avera even when you violate it by Misasik. Rav Kivager brings just points out this would solve a very sharp question posed by the Makor Chaim. The Makor Chaim is the Nesivis. The Nesivis is comments on Or HaChaim, or on Hilchos Pesach. So the Makor Chaim says, he wants to know, why is there, let's say you end up violating Ba'ayir Abayim Matzeh, and you didn't know that you had Chametz in your house. So the Makor Chaim says, why is that a problem? But everyone goes crazy about checking for Chametz. You didn't know you had Chametz in your house. So just say it's Mesasik. You didn't know about it. So you shouldn't violate Ba'ira, Ba'i Matzeh whatsoever. So why does everyone go crazy worrying about the chametz in their house? It's Mesasek. You didn't know you had chametz there. So what does the Nesivis say to answer that? So Nesivis here has a fundamental distinction. He says, maybe the whole p'tur of Mesasek is only relevant to Averos Bekum Va'aseh. To an Aver that you're getting up and doing. But an Aver B'sheva Al Taisa, when you're violating an Avera passively, then the whole P'tur Misasek is not relevant. Why? Because Misasek, by definition, is a P'tur in the Ma'isa Avera. That's the Makor Chaim's distinction. So Ba'ira, Ba'i Matzeh is violated passively, so Misasek won't apply. So Rav Kivi Eger says, I could give you a better answer, according to what I just said. Misasek is just a P'tur Korban. But fundamentally, there is a Ma'isa Avera. So the reason why you have to go crazy and making sure you don't have any Chametz in your house, is it true that you won't be chayav achatos or there's no onesh? But misasik is a ma'isa avera in Kol Torah Kula. So therefore, you have to go out of your way and make sure you're not going to violate it. That's a good nafkamina, where you don't have to come on to the Makor Chaim's distinction of chametz. Kiva Eger brings another possible source. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Testament base says what happens when it's passing the Shulchan Aruch in your day Simon Shin Gimel. Let's say you see your friend walking in the street with kilayim. What's the din?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you have to tell him, and you have to tell him to take it off. Right? Because Kavod HaBrios is not going to be docha the Isser of Kilayim. So Kiva Eger asks, wait a second, why don't you say, the person wearing Kilayim doesn't know it's Kilayim. He's Misasek. Misasek is totally Pater. So Mishum Kavod HaBrios, let the guy get home and then tell him later. Why do you have to tell him right now? He's violating the verb of Misasek. So once again, what?
He's high, but he's not.
So once again, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that fundamentally Misasek is not a hafgas ma'isa avera. It's not taking away the ma'isa avera. There still is an iser, and that's why you have to go ahead and tell him. However, let's say if you saw your friend violating Shabbos b'misasek, then you wouldn't have a chiyuv to tell him, because there's no ma'isa avera whatsoever in Hilchos Shabbos, because of Melechus Machshavas Asur Torah. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that therefore, let's say you see your eved doing and a malacha b'Shabbos in Misasek, and a chanam, you have no chiv to tell him to stop. Okay, so that's a very, very fundamental Rav Kiva Eger in distinguishing between the requirements of what's considered Misasek in Kol Torah Kula and what's considered Misasek when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Not happy.
No, I'm happy. I just have one question when we're doing it, that he seems to, he uses the term malacha b'Shabbos, by Shabbos, right? He's just pronouncing by Shabbos. Say, oh, Melech Machshavet is totally, there's no Ma'aseh Aveira at all. It's totally Mutter.
Right.
But remember last time you were trying to say Melech Machshavet in Rashi, when you saw Rashi and you're contrasting the toast, you're contrasting the grafted toast.
He has, I mean, he has a very strong interpretation of Machzor Shabbos here.
Right.
So he'll point out that it, that Kvigur, that there's reason to believe that Machzor Shabbos shouldn't be interpreted that strongly. Like, for just for example, we saw the Gemara for a second on Kuf Vav or something like that, about that Mekalkel Bechabura is Mekalkel B'chover Mavir is Chayiv. Even though Mekalkel is generally Potter and Shabbos, Mekalkel for Chover and Mavir is Chayiv. Right? So the way a lot of Rishonim take that is that there's no Ptur of Malachas Machsheves when it comes to Chover and Mavir. Therefore, they argue, there shouldn't be a Ptur of Malachas Ein Tzricha L'Gufa either for Chover and Mavir. Okay, anything that's based off Malachas Machsheves shouldn't apply to Chovel Ma'avir. Okay, that's their argument.
Okay.
But yet, clearly you see that we do apply some Peturim to Chovel Ma'avir. Okay? Sorry. They point out that Mekalkel here seems to be a Chisaron in Malachas Machsheves. Okay?
Okay.
Therefore, they argue, if Mekalkel b'chovel u'mavir is chayiv, even though it's not malachas machshaves, therefore anything for chovel u'mavir which is not malachas machshaves should also be chayiv, such as malachas shein tzricha l'gufa for chovel u'mavir.
Okay.
So now the question is, so would you say like a Rabbi Akiva Eiger that if you do Mekalkel on another malacha, so there's no shame malacha whatsoever? Because not malachas machshaves? Which seems to be what Kiv Yeager is arguing. Anytime you don't have Lach Smach Shev, that's no shame malacha.
Okay, I don't see that, but isn't
the
Chiddush just
Mekalkel
by Chovel
Ma'avir?
That's not
Lach Smach Shev? No, the Chiddush is that Mekalkel, which is normally a Ptur on Lach Smach Shev, is Chayev for Chovel
Ma'avir. Right, so I'm saying you want to apply that to Mekalkel by other.
No, but therefore you see that the Ptur and Mekalkel in other malachos is also Chisar in Lach Smach Shev.
Okay.
Right? But yet, you wouldn't say that, say, Mekalkel on Bona or Mekalkel on Ksiva is not a shame malacha whatsoever.
Why?
It's hard to say that. It doesn't seem that way from the Rishonim.
But the Rabbi Kiva Eiger would say that.
Similarly, some Rishonim seem to say that malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is also a chisaron in malachas machshaves. But yeah, there's definitely an iser drabanan there, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's aser. So you can't say that anytime there's no malachas machshaves, there's no maisa avera. So you have to say there's like a spectrum of how much of a Ptur Malachas Machshaves creates. Right? So you might say that Davar Shein Meskaven is Midin Malachas Machshaves, and Malachas Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Midin Malachas Machshaves, even though one's Mutter and one's Pater. Mesase, according to Bekiv Eger, is Midin Malachas Machshaves, even though that's no Maisa Avera whatsoever. So you have to say is that there's a spectrum. That's all the same Ptur, but there are different levels of invoking it. So that's what you'd have to walk out. Good. Let's move on to the Gemara. Okay, ready with me? Two dots. Gimel Amud Aleph. Volunteer. How do you want to take it?
Sure.
Okay, go for it.
Vaymine Rav mi Rabbi. So Rav asked Rabbi, Hatinu Chaviro Ochlenu Mashkem Veltzia Mechut Mahu Akirat Kufo Kakirat Chafet Mim Komo Dami Omichayev Odia Melo. So if somebody's friend like loading him up with like food and drinks to carry, is this case similar to is the case of like Akira Kufo similar to like being Akira Chepetz, or and therefore you're Chayav, or maybe it's not and therefore you should be as Pater?
Excellent. So how do you understand that question? What's the topic of the Gemara? To you, I asked you have something in your pocket and you walk outside. So is that considered an Akira, Leinan Hichos Shabbos? Or is an Akira, Hichos Shabbos, only when you pick an item off the table and walk outside with it?
I mean, that sounds like the question.
That's the question, right? So what do you think that depends on? What's the suffix in the Gemara? Just, is there a rationale behind the suffix?
Like the fact that to be Chayav, you need both Akira and Hanacha, and seemingly, in this case, you wouldn't have that.
Well, you would have a Hanach. Why do you say there's no Hanach here?
No, I'm saying you wouldn't have Akira. So therefore, like,
okay, so the question is this considered an Akira? But why should this Akira be in question?
you act, like actually doing it as opposed to like not.
What do you think, Rachel?
Well, you could ask it two ways. You either could say how you define Akira, and so maybe Akira has to be whatever, either an intention when you yourself pick something up, right? Same meaning the same person that initiates the hanacha has to be the person that it, well, those are two different things, but maybe the same person that initiates the hanacha has to be the one that initiates the Akira. Or it could just be a question about what's the role of Akira, a related question about what's the role of Akira in Hotsa in general.
Okay, but it seems to be a question about, is this defined as an Akira?
Right, fine, so then, so fine. Well,
I'm saying, what does that question turn on?
I thought it was a question of if it's on the Hefza or the Gaber, if it's on the actual item that needs to go from the ground to the going up, or is it that the Akira is on the person moving the object. The ground is not really important.
Okay. That's a very fundamental way of reading the Safek in the Gemara. I think the Pnei Yeshua on Daf Beis reads the Safek this way. Remember we saw an earlier discussion with Tosos Arashi in Shavuos on Daf Gemal, and a little bit also in the Pnei Yeshua actually on Daf Beis, about whether the Isser of Hotzah and Shabbos is very Gavra focused. For example, we saw a question about the relationship between Hotzah and the Isser of Tchumin. Right, is Tchumin, the Isser of just walking yourself outside of Tchum, is that a subcategory of Hotzah? Or is the Isser of Hotzah very Hefza focused? But the object transferring with Shuyos. Right? And we saw there were cases, for example, Zrika. Zrika is a case where Dafka the Chefetz is transferring with Shuyos. The Gavra is not making that transition along with the Chefetz. And we saw there are steers and tosis in between the first Parak and Parak HaZorik, whether or not you think that Zorik is a classic case of Hotzah, or whether you think it's an exceptional case. Okay? The Pnei Yeshua on Daf Beis suggested that maybe the reason why you need two different psukim is because one pasuk is telling you in Isser, remember, that why did the Gemara on Sadi Yivav have a different pasuk from the Gemara on Daf? From the Gemara in Erevin. Whether it's Vayikali Ha'am Mehavi or Losetziu Masim Vatechem or the Aliyetze Ishmim Komo in Erevin. So the Pnei Yeshua suggests that maybe one is to tell you the Isser of Hotzah Sagavra, and one is to tell you the Isser of Hotzah Sakli. Similarly, Tosa Rosh in Shavuos and Tosa in Shavuos seem to say that you don't even need a pasuk to tell you the Hotzah of the Hotzah Sagavra. The only time you need two psukim is to tell you a case when the Gavra is not moving Rishuyos. Like a case of when you're just putting your hand into the other Rishuyos with the Chefa, it's like the case in the Mishnah on that base. But a classic case of Yitzias Sagavra, that you wouldn't need. Now, if you take that fundamental read, right, so then the Gemara is actually Masupak here about, the Gemara is Masupak that maybe the transition of the Kli is more obvious than the transition of the Kli with the Gavra, right? That's what would seem to emerge from the Gemara. So the question is, how, and then the Gemara ends up concluding what? That Akira Skufo is Akira Skefetz or not? How's the Gemara conclude?
Yeah.
It is. It is Akira Schefetz, Tami. Now, so then how serious is this Havamina that Akira Skufo is Lav Akira Schefetz, Tami? Is that a real Havamina in the Gemara?
I mean, if you think that Skufo and Yado is in the equation.
Oh, excellent. It is. Why? Because the implication from the Mishnah is
that you're Pater if you just need
your Yad. Right. If you look at the Yad cases, so it would sound pretty clear from the Mishnah that Gufo should not be an Akira. Because you have your hand in another Rishos, somebody puts something into your hand, you pull your hand into your Rishos. Classic Akira's Gufo, right? Seemingly. So taking the object along with your hand is not considered Chilul Shabbos, because that's one of the cases of the Mishnah where it's Pater. You have your hand in, I'm in the Rishos HaRabim, I put my hand into the Rishos HaYachid, Q put something into my hand, I pull my hand out, I'm Pater. We're both Pater. My hand was in Rishos HaYachid, and now my hand's in Rishos HaRabim. Shouldn't that be Akira's Kufo, Akira's Chefetz Dami? So one might say, and this is what the Chassam Sofer says quite brilliantly, that the Gemara never really was Mesupak about the status of Akira's Kufo, Akira's Chefetz Dami. It is a very strong read of the Gemara. And he's motivated by a clever question. The Gemara on Gimel Beis says, Reb Chiya admonishes Rav, right? So read on for a second. What? Just read on top of Gilman Beis. I'm going to read the Rav.
Bar pachati lo amin alacha ki kai rabbi baha masakta lo tishai lev masakta achariti. Diom alava daite di ilav de rabbi gamar rabba hu kaspite.
Right, so what does that mean?
So, like, you shouldn't have, like, asked the Rav about a question in this masakta because he was learning something else, and if it were not for the fact that he was, like, such a great man, like...
He wouldn't have been able to answer.
Yeah.
Dilma, what would have happened? So you would have embarrassed him, because after you would have embarrassed him. He would have given you a dachuk answer. He would have given you a forced interpretation. But it turns out that he actually gave you a very good answer. So Chassam Sofer read this Gemara, and he's bothered by this little exchange over here. And he's bothered by an apparent contradiction a strange implication from the Gemara later on. What was the implication from the Gemara later on? I thought it was in maybe called Kisvei. Anybody see that Gemara? Later on, about Ezu Rav Shemananosa Parnasal Tzibur. Gemara in Kufi Dalam and Aleph. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ezu Tamachokam Shemananosa Parnasal Tzibur. What level of erudition does somebody have to have in order to appoint them as an official on the Tzibur? Somebody you could ask him a shaila in any area of halacha, and he could respond. And even in the most recondite of mesachtos, like mesachas kal, according to the way most rishonim take it. So asks the Chassam Sofer, if that's the halacha, that you have to have that kind of mastery, that somebody could ask you a halacha in any area, and you could respond instantly, so why does the Gemara in Daf Gimel, why does Reb Chiya challenge Rav for asking Rebbe a question that he wasn't learning? Isn't that the very Hagdara of a Talmid Chacham? Right, it's a clever question.
Machlokes.
What? You want to say it's Machlokes HaSugyos?
I have to say Rebbe Yochanan Rebbe Chiya.
What?
It's Machlokes Rebbe Yochanan Rebbe Chiya.
Okay. Do you want to say it's Machlokes Amarayim? Fine. So Chassam Sofer has a very clever suggestion. Chassam Sofer says no. Of course, the Gemara in Kufi Dalet is correct, and you're allowed to ask a Shaila in any area of Halakha. But he's like, what's going to happen then is that, he's like, the Gemara here didn't, he's like, what's going to happen then is Dilma Mishani L'cha Shinuya Delav Shinuyahu. Maybe he'll give you a bad answer. So he said, everybody knows, this is a Chassam Sofer suggestion, everybody knows that Akiras Gufos Kakiras Chepetz Dami. That's like, everyone knew that. And that wasn't the Shiloh that he was asking Rebbe. He was asking Rebbe, why is that different from the Mishnah on Daf Beis? That was his implicit question. So that's why he loved Rebbe Gava Rabu. If not for the fact that Rebbe was, of course he would have known the halacha. That's the din of Kufi Dalid. You have to know how to paskin. So you knew Akiras Gifu Kakiras Tevesh Tami. But the question was the Lundisha question. Well, then why is that not in contradiction to the Mishnah of Yado? So that's why Rebbe's a Gava Rabba, because he didn't tell you, of course, everyone knew Akiras Gufo Kakiras Chefetz Dami, but Rebbe said right away, Ve'eno Doma Liyado of the Mishnah Daf Beis.
Oh,
I mean, he knew the right distinction. Right. He anticipated the question from Daf Beis and gave the right distinction. So Kufi Dal is talking about a Psak. The Gemara in Daf Gimel is saying that if you catch somebody in a Psak, they're not learning, they won't be able to give you the right reconciliation between, you know, Stiras. But the Halacha itself, of course, they have to be able to tell you. That's Chassam Sofer's point. But I just think that's fascinating because that means he thinks the Gemara never really had a Shaila about Akiras Tefetz Akiras Gufo Kakiras Tefetz Dami. That the Gemara knew. The only question was, why is that different from the Mishnah on Daf Beis? So what's the Chiddush of this Gemara is not the Din. The Chiddush of the Gemara, as we're about to see in a second, is the rationale as to why Yad is different. It's a very clever read of the Sugya by Chassam Sofer, right? It's pretty clever. But that's an extreme read. Other Rishonim will say that really the question of Akiras Gufo is in question. And with respect to that, you would say, I think like Jeremy said, that that's a fundamental question as to the nature of Isra Vutza. Does it include Halichas HaGavra, or is it really about Halichas HaKli? So what is the rationale? Why is the Mishnah not a good question? Why is the Mishnah on Daf Beis not a good question? So what does the Gemara say here? Aryeh, Gimel and Aleph.
Amar Omer lechaya beino dom liyado, ma taima, gufo niach, yado lo niach.
Okay. So yado is not a good question, because gufo is nach, yado lo nach. What's the other gears on the Gemara? There are two other possible gear cells in the Gemara that you could have. Our gears in the Gemara is gufo nach, yado lo nach. What other gersos do we show him have? Jennifer, you know the... What other gersos do we show him have? Can't pass. I'm just kidding. Of course can't pass. Rashi hints to it. Jennifer, read Rashi. Gufo Nayich. Last Rashi on Gimel Med Aleph. Kiras Gufo. Lishnachrina.
Lishnachrina, yado bajar gufo grera.
Okay, so what's Rashi saying? What's the Lishnachrina in the Gemara? Instead of, well, let's see, what else, what, either additionally or as a substitution, what was there?
Whether or not what his hand is considered is, whether is what his the rest of his.
Excellent. Meaning instead of having the rationale in the Gemara of Yad Lo Nach, you would have Yad Basar Gufo Greira, right? Now in Rashi, it's not clear whether that would be in addition to Yad Lo Nach Vi Yad Basar Gufo Greira, or that's a substitute Girsa, right?
By saying
Rashi sounds like he had both.
Yeah.
Look at Rabbeinu Chananel on Gimel Beis. It's clear Rabbeinu Chananel had both of those in the Gemara. My taima, yado lo naicha basar gufo greira. Yado's lo nach basar gufo greira. So Rabbeinu Chananel clearly had both. That seems to be what Rashi would have had. Both rationales. Our Gemara only has gufo naich, yado lo naich. Look at Tosos dira maschel my taima, bottom Tosos. My taima yado lo naich, nir l'ri, kiloshon acher, digaras yado basar gufo greira. Okay, and from Bayakira, lo Bayakira, lo my digaris nami yadlo naich nefarishri dehainu mishun debasar gufo garir. Meaning, Tosfos. It seems like Tosfos just had the girsa of yada basar gufo greira, and even if you were to have the girsa of both of them, it's an interpretation. Okay, so you really could have three girsas in the Gemara here. Either you have the girsa of yadlo naich, which is our girsa, or you have the girsa of yadlo naich yada basar gufo greira, like Rabbeinu Chananel has. Or what seems to be Tosfos' gear says that you just have the rationale of Yada Basar Gufo Greira. Yeah.
What is Yada Basar
Gufo Greira? Okay, yeah. So let's explain that. So you have three possible gear cells in the Gemara. Rashi, what would it mean if you just had the rationale of Yada Lo Naich? And this seems to be Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. What does Yada Lo Naich mean?
Yeah.
Oh, Yada Lo Naich al Gavi Karka. Which means, Chana, you saw that Rashi? So what does that mean? Excellent. So the reason why yado is lo naich is because the yad is in the air, and you can't have anacha on the air. Now, this will raise an important question. What if you hold kluta? What if you hold kluta kamisha huncha damya? What if you hold that objects in the air are kiyud or nacha gabe karka? So maybe something in your hand should also be nacha gabe karka. Right? So we'll have to explain that according to Rashi. So Rashi says the din in the simple fact that yad is not nach. Now, the simple reading of Rashi and the way Tosos reads Rashi is that is true even when the yad and the guf are in the same rishos. Right? Even when my yad, let's say I have something in my hand in rishos ayachid, so my yad is still not nach. That's a simple read of Rashi, which is what Tosos accuses Rashi of holding. Which would mean that if somebody puts something into my hand in my house and I walk with that outside, it would seem, according to Rashi, that I'm not chayiv. Because there's no hanacha for the hand.
You think that's really pshat Rashi?
It seems that way from the surface of Rashi. Okay? Now, that on the surface, what Tosos points out, that seems to be in contradiction with the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that if, let's say, somebody's standing in a Rishis HaYachid, and somebody from the Rishis HaRabim puts something into the hand of somebody in the Rishis HaYachid, what's the din? Chayiv for the person outside. So clearly you see that hanacha into someone's hand is considered a hanacha. Okay? That's Tosfos' objection to Rashi, so we have to figure out something. I would only note, and this will be the beginning of a distinction, is that there are two different kinds of hanacha that you could discuss. There's a hanacha l'chiv. There's a hanacha where, is this action which I did, putting it down, is that sufficient to be mechayev me now for the hanacha, for the final act of hutzah? That's one question. The second question, and this, that's true for akira, is this an akira such that it's the beginning of the act of hutzah? The second question, whether something is considered a hanacha, such that something following that hanacha is considered a new akira. Meaning, something is only considered an akira, le'inyan hilchos Shabbos, if it was taken from a state of rest. So for example, I might distinguish between, let's say, the shame hanacha with respect to my putting something into Jeremy's hand, in his rishos. So I'm chayiv, because I did a hanacha into his hand. So his yad, with respect to me, with respect to being mechayiv me for hotzah, may be considered a makom munach. But that may not mean that that's a hanacha with respect to Jeremy now going and taking that object and doing a new akira. Okay? So we have to distinguish between these two different notions of hanacha. Hanacha, such that something afterwards an akira, and a hanacha as the final act of an iser hotzah. Okay, so we'll have to see if that would solve some of the problems. So Rashi, that's Rashi's strong understanding. Tosfos understands the Gemara differently. Yad Basar Guf Ugreira. How does Tosfos understand it? Why is Guf Eino Domel Yado? Chana, why is, according to Tosfos, why is Yad Eino Domel Yado? Bottom Tosfos. Because I'll say it quickly. So according to Tosfos, it's not about the Yad not being Al-Gabi Karka. It's the fact that the Yad and the Guf are in two separate Rishuyos. Yad Abasar Gufu Garir. So when the Yad is in the Rishus HaYachid and the Guf is in the Rishus HaRabim, so you can't say the Yad is Munach in the Rishus HaYachid, because the Yad is Nigrar, it's dragged after the body. So precisely because of the contradiction between the Rishus of the Guf and the Rishus of the Yad, therefore the Yad is not considered Nach. But the fact that the Yad is not Al-Gabi Karka, that's irrelevant. So the Nafkin be, what's the Nafkin mean? Now according to Tosfos, if the Yad, at least ostensibly, if the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, where there's no contradiction between the Guf and the Yad, then the Yad is considered Munach. Because the Yad follows the body. It's only when the Yad and the Guf are in different Rishuyos that you have this problem and you have to say the Yad is not Nach. According to Rashi, it's not a question about the relationship between the Yad and the Guf. It's about the relationship between the Yad and the Karka. Nafka Mina, pointed out by the Ritva, is that implicitly pointed out by the Ritva, is that what happens in a case where the Yad is in a different Rishus, but within three tefachim of the ground. So what then? According to Tosfos? It wouldn't be, exactly. If the Yad is, let's say, literally Agabe Karka in a different Rishus from the Guf, so according to Rashi now, the Yad is Agabe Karka, or within three tefachim, because that's Lavud, it's considered Alakli on the ground. So according to Rashi, that would be considered a Hanacha. According to Tosfos, it's not a Hanacha at all, because there's still a contradiction between the Rishus of the Yad and the Rishus of the Guf. Good? Now the Ritva himself, and this is true for the Meiri as well, they have both Girsos in the Gemara. Yado Basar Gufo Garir. Yado Lo Nach Vi Yado Basar Gufo Garir. Now remember, Tosfos said that if you have both of those Girsos, so then the latter is the explanation for the former. The reason why there's no Hanacha of the Yad in the other Rishus is precisely because of the discrepancy between the Rishus of the Yad and the Rishus of the Guf. Yado Basar Gufo Garir is the rationale why Yado is Lo Nach. But the Ritva argues differently. What does the Ritva say? Jeremy, you see the Ritva?
Yeah. Is it because your hand is not... not part of your body, it's not really a shino rishus?
I think it's something a little different. So, he holds you have both girsos. Why does he have both girsos?
he doesn't think that Rashi would fall into Tosafot's question.
Perhaps, but point is that but not really, because he holds you need both Girsalos and the Gemara. Why? Precisely because.
Because it answers Rashi's question. Because if Yado is like part of greater group, then it's even if it's like in the middle of greater group.
Excellent. The Ritva holds you need both rationales in the Gemara to get over both problems. The problem is Yad Lo Noch, right? The hand is in the air, it's not on the ground, like Rashi said. What about a case where the hand is loved to the ground in the other Rishos? So then you need Tosus's answer, Tosus's rationale of Yad Basar Gufo Garir. Now, what I'm not sure about according to the Ritva is why, once you have Yad Basar Gufo Garir, do you need Rashi's rationale? Unless you'll say that according to the Ritva, there would be cases where even when the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, that the Yad is not considered Nach. That's crazy. But there could be cases where if you saw the Rashba actually quotes a very interesting Shita from Rabin Yona, and the Rush seems to have it also. Let's say you have something in your hand in the same Rishus as the Guf. Somebody puts something in your hand inside the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So what's that? That's, according to Rashi, that's not Noch, because the hand's not Al-Gavei Karka. And then, Hotzi Yado L'chutz V'zarak. So then you stick your hand into Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and you throw something. So the Rashba argues that that's not Chayiv. D'ha lo akar. Meaning, that seems to be like Shitas Rashi, that since your hand, even in the same Rishus as the Guf, is not Nach, so even if you stick your hand into another Rishus and throw it, you're going to be Pater. Because Hanachas Yad is Lo Shmei Hanacha. Okay, so maybe that's why you would need both rationales in the Gemara. Yad Lo Nach, even when it's in the same Rishus as the Guf, and Yad Basar Gufo Garir, such that even when the yad is in a different rishus, but love it to the karka, you wouldn't need, you wouldn't be chayiv. Okay. Everybody see that Rashba? Okay. So that's just our preliminary analysis of the Gemara and Daf Gimel. And we need to see for Tuesday night. So we need to zero in a little bit on what the difference is between Yad Lo Noch, how Rashi would answer Tosafot's question. Right, what does Rashi do with the Mishnah, where it seems that when the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishos that you're Chayiv, it is considered Hanacha. Zero in a little more on Yad Basar Gufo Garir. So here's, I'll email Amakoros today, but take a look at the Gemara. The Rashi already quoted this question from the Gemara on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph, before the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah on Sadi Aleph Amid Beis. And Sadi Beis Amid Aleph. There, the Gemara has a very interesting discussion about Eged Yad Shmei Eged. It's the parallel to a case. Let's say you have a lot of cucumbers in a box. Some of the cucumbers, you push half the box into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So some of the individual items now change Rishuyos, but the box as a whole didn't. So that's a question of Eged Kli Shmei Eged or not. Do you view it based off the box or based off the individual item? The Gemara has a parallel question with respect to Yad. If you have an item in your hand, and your hand goes across Rishuyos, do you care about the hand or do you care about the item? So that's the Gemara on the top of Sadi Beis Amid Aleph. And look at Tosos Dibur Maschil Hasam L'malo Migimel. Very, very important Tosos. There, Tosos already poses the question, what about Lavud? What about Kluta? What about Lavud? And how does that relate to the problem on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph? Okay. The second thing we have to address is, why does the Gemara only present the question of Daf Gimel Amid Aleph? Q, what's missing from the Gemara? What did the Gemara only ask about? What should it have asked about? Yeah, why didn't the Gemara ask about Hanacha? Akira Askufa Shmei Akira. But the Gemara never asked about Hanacha. So why is that? Is that because it's so intuitive that Akira and Hanacha go together? So if Akira Askufa is Shmei Akira, then Hanacha Askufa Shmei Akira, then Hanacha Askufa also is? Or is the point that it's so obvious that Hanacha Askufa is Shmei Akira, and the only suffix is about Akira? All right, so now we're going to see Tos Yishanim and Tosos. So that we have to sort out. And then we have to figure out, so why the discrepancy between Akira and Hanacha? is this a general distinction between the nature of Akira and Hanacha, or is it something unique to the case at hand? Okay. And then we have to figure out what's the status of Yad. What's the status of Yad? So here the Gemara is asking about Yad with respect to Akira and Hanacha, but what's going to be the status of the Yad with respect to the Shem Rishus? Right, does the Yad take on the status of the Rishus that it's in? Does the Yad take on the status of the Rishus from which it's coming from? That's going to be the discussion from the two dots on Gimel and Beis. Okay, so I'm going to email Makoros that will finish up our discussion from today on Hanachas Yad Akira Skufo. And then we're going to look at the Gemara in two dots on Gimel and Beis. I'm going to buy a Pshita Liyad Shalom Eino Lokesh Shazram Lokesh Shazayachim. Very fascinating sugya as well. Okay.